So hello and welcome to our Gold, Gold Plus and Elite group call for July, I guess it is. And we have two of these usually, one in the evening and one in the day. Sometimes we do, not every month, but this week we do. We have two, so some of you are probably going to show up on that one. But I'm here to support you however you need it. There was only one entry on one of those forms, and it actually she retracted it because she figured it out. So so I'm here to support you however I can. So just share what's going on, any successes that you want to share, any fun things you've been doing, and how can we get down and dirty and help you with the next steps? Nobody?
Yeah. I can say yeah. Something, or, unless you're ready, Diana.
No, go ahead. I don't have anything, really.
I don't have much, but we came back on the 4th of July from our long trip.
Oh, yes. How was it? Tell
it
us.
Was fantastic. It was great because it was not only nature, but there were all civilizations, too. Mesa Verde, Chaco, you know, all those places that... they just have dwellings in, you know, in the mountains.
Nice. So,
fantastic. It was really, really beautiful. Mm. We enjoyed it very much.
And you were gone for like two or three weeks, right?
Two and a half weeks.
Nice.
So it was fantastic. And we are also scouting a place where we want to retire. So this is our second time in Santa Fe. And we still like it very much, so maybe we'll move there in a few years.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's exciting.
You get away from those cold winters up in your area.
Well,
I mean, it gets chilly down there too, but it's not the same.
No.
Winter in the mountains versus winter in the city.
Yeah.
Not the same.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, I do like green a lot. And, you know, there's a lot less green in that area. But it's still very peaceful, you know. I really like it, and my husband does too. So
nice.
We might move there.
Take the wheel and go anywhere.
Yeah.
And the drier climate, it'll be good. I think the drier climate is often good for your breathing, for histamine issues, for all sorts of things. So it might actually be a boon to you. How long before you'll retire?
5 years.
Oh, okay. It's a while still.
It's a while. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we're going to be slowly, you know, taking off more time.
Mm, I love it.
Until we are gone totally.
For you.
And it seems more possible now, you know, after working like crazy for all these years and going nuts. It looks like, you know, there's a light at the other end of the tunnel. So
lovely. Good for you. Yeah. I'm so glad for you.
Yeah. What I found is, and I'm not sure it was the heat, but I developed a rash on my skin and my nose and my eyes started, you know, watering.
Similar to the way the eyes have happened before?
No, this is just water.
Oh, just water. Just
water.
Yeah.
Running, you know, drip my nose dripping, my eyes watering.
So that's sounds like a histamine type reaction. Yeah.
But no, you don't think it's the sun?
Well, tell me more about what happened. How did it
start? Well, my sister when she goes out in the sun, she gets a rash.
There are people who do that right now, but have you ever gotten a rash in the sun before? And the combination with the eyes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sounds
so
like
it could have been food, but you know, it also happened in there were a few days that were, it was extremely hot. So I thought it's a food, but it looks like the heat.
Could be a heat rash. I mean, yeah, people get heat rashes.
Yeah.
So did it just come on like suddenly? You suddenly started having a rash, and was it itchy? What did it look like?
No, it wasn't itchy, but it was like bumps all over my arms, my legs, and my feet.
And you'd been sweating?
I've been sweating, not a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I've been sweating.
And then what about the eyes, though?
It was like, you know, like I was crying all the time.
Came on at the same time, similar?
It happened more or less at the same time, but it could have been unrelated.
And how long did it all last?
The eyes and the nose was for 2 or 3 days. And then it
gradually disappeared.
It just, yeah.
Went away. Interesting.
I mean, it could. Since I woke up, you know, and went through the day.
So then it was pretty consistent? I mean, did it bother you at night?
No, not at night. During the daytime.
During the day? Okay. Yeah, I mean, it could be a heat rash. It could be some people do develop like almost an allergy to the sun. I know somebody who's mm-hmm. like that. She said, I can't go out in the sun because I get this bumpy rash all over my body. I've gotten a little bumpiness when I've been out in the sun too long, not even from getting a sunburn, but a really dark tan. And I'll, oh my God, what are these? It's like this rashy thing. And then it goes away in a couple of days. The thing when something like that, whenever anything like that happens, that is like a lot of dripping and nose dripping and a rash type of thing, oftentimes vitamin C and quercetin can help with symptom control, right? To help get it under control. It could have been an allergy to something like sleeping in a hotel, an allergy to the detergent that they use. I mean, those are kind of things to rule out.
It could have been too. Yeah. But the days it happened, we were camping.
It happened when you were camping.
I think so.
Okay. So then a plant or, you know, so a lot of possibilities.
Well, it was very, some areas were very dusty.
It was dusty.
You know, a lot of, red earth.
Oh, the red dirt. Yeah, the red clay-like stuff.
Everywhere,
yeah.
You know, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it could have been any of those things because there's a lot of change. Was there much of a change in your eating patterns?
The meals that I prepared, no, but I ate out too. Mm-hmm. Even that I try to stay away from those things that I'm not eating.
That was on the biome? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But were you able to stay off of, you know, the basic, the gluten and dairy?
For the most part, I did. But, you know, I might have eaten a bunch of stuff that it wasn't on the menu listed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you never know when you're eating out, too. No. So it could be something like that. But, right.
Yeah.
And it went away so quickly. So, it was my most likely. Now, I would also consider, though, if it was in a particular area, like your 3 days in certain town or whatever, that you visit that town again and spend more time before you decide to move there for retirement, because if it's something that's in the environment, right, that you're sensitive to, and you're like, oh, lovely, I'm retired and I'm covered in a rash and have a runny nose for the rest of my life.
Yeah. No, anyway, before we totally decide we're going to go and spend, you know, a month or whatever to see if we really, you know, one thing is being a tourist and another thing is
living there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a month is a good time, you know, to really get a sense of it. Yeah. Especially for allergens and things like that. So that would be the main thing I would caution. Like if there's something in the air, in the dirt, you know, that was in the air, you know, and it could be a combination of your skin got covered with this dusty dirt and you were sweating because it was hot.
Yeah. It could have been.
Yeah, a combination of all that. But, and especially with you, because you've had histamine type reactions before, when you travel, your first aid kit should include some vitamin C and quercetin and echinacea, berberine, you know, things like that, that if something comes up, you're not stuck in the middle of nowhere.
This time I did take vitamin C, but instead of taking all the other herbs, I took it's kind of an herbal spritz.
Yeah, so it's a combination. Yeah, all those things are really good to take with you when you travel. Because, you know, on the one hand, if you're going to New York City, okay, if you, something happens, you find a store, you go to Whole Foods or whatever, you go to the local herb shop and you get what you need. But if you're in the middle of a camping trip and you're in the middle of nowhere, I always have, I have a little Ziploc bag that has different herbs and tinctures and various things like that. Because I figure the more I take, the less I'll need. And if I don't take it, I'll need it. So I might as well take it. And when the kids were little, it was much bigger because I'd have for bug bites and for poison ivy and for, you know, I just have everything.
That one suitcase just for you.
Oh, yeah. I have this like big, you know, it's like a, it's supposed to be a cosmetic bag, but I had all these little slots and I would put all those herbs and things in there. And there were times I had to use them on trips and I was very happy that I had them, you know. Yeah. One thing I found though, cause I was like, what am I going to do? One of my kids got, once was a scorpion bite and one was a bee sting. And I'm like, oh, and I had this combination. It was an anti-inflammatory herb that was turmeric and ginger. And I had that and I mixed it with vitamin C and put water to make a little paste. And I put it over that and I gave him some internally. And I would say within an hour gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, whoa, okay. You know, so it's just the power of the plants. Yeah. And if you know them, if you've learned foraging and all, you can oftentimes find something. If you know how to find plantain, you know, if you get a cut or yarrow, I don't know if there's any yarrow growing in the wild, but it stops bleeding. And I gave some to a friend. She was here and she had cut herself. She goes, I don't know. I keep cutting this thing and it just keeps bleeding. And every time it opens, it just bleeds forever. I'm like, here, try some of this. And I powdered up some yarrow and I gave it to her and she put it on and she says, this is amazing. So I gave her a little container of it. She keeps it in her bathroom. She's always cutting herself. So she just is like, I use that stuff all the time. And it actually, you know, it sucks up and it stops the bleeding. So it's good if you, you know, if you have something that is a bad cut or whatever. Sometimes even bee stings or mosquito bites. You scratch it and then suddenly you're just bleeding all over the place. Good stuff. Yeah. Good.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And I have one more thing. I found a glitch. I was trying to do my journal on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go past the fun part and I couldn't save it either.
Did you try again or did you just, was it just a one-time thing?
I tried again and then I, you know, was late and said, okay.
So you didn't do it?
I had the same problem.
Had the same problem?
Yeah. What I ended up doing is hitting the tab key and the tab was, I was able to open up the next question box.
Yeah, I did the tab key, but it didn't work for me.
It didn't work?
Okay. I was doing it on a tablet, not on a computer.
Oh. We'll look at, we've been slowly migrating a lot of our forms from this form thing we've been using called mock forms, and that's still there into just Google Forms because it works nicer. But we haven't done all of them. I mean, we have like 250 or 300 forms.
Or more. Yeah.
But, and some of them like this one is very tied in to a whole application where it triggers a tag that gets, you know, it does all this stuff and I'm not sure if we can actually move it, but I'll have them look for that. I know that a couple of weeks ago, they upgraded the version of that program. And I wonder if something changed, but I'll go test it out myself.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I have problems with our own website. Every day there's a new...
There's always something else and there's somebody changes a version of something and then it doesn't work anymore. And then sometimes it's a compatibility thing. Like if you upgraded an operating system...
Well,
and then
especially if you do a lot of custom stuff.
Well, we have had a lot of custom stuff built into these forms to make them do what we want them to do with the scoring and to link into Infusionsoft and all. And it could be something related to that, but I'll get somebody on it or I'll try it myself and see if it's consistent. But if two of you had it, and you got around it with a tab, but you didn't, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we didn't get more calls on it. I think it's dwindling down at the beginning of the year when everybody saw, filling them in like crazy.
Yeah.
And now everybody's like, I'm not going to fill it in.
No, maybe I didn't do it on a tablet. Maybe I did do it in the computer.
Oh, so I could have been on a tablet.
Tablet or computer, but I hit tab and it didn't work for me.
Okay. And you did it on a computer, Diana, or a tab? Yeah, okay. I'll try it on both. Okay, great. Thank you.
It might not have been
know that. I appreciate it.
It might not have been the tab key, but I did find something I could hit that would.
You found something. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, that one worked. What was that one?
I'm pretty sure it was the tab key because I had to find it the second time because it does that with each box. So each time you go to answer, you know, that particular box, you put your answer in there and you can't move down the page. But I'm pretty sure it was the tab key that I was able to do that on the laptop. So.
Okay. We'll look at that.
Because somehow I made the whole thing filled out and it did work once I hit submit. But I've never been able to save any of those. The journal entries don't save that I know of.
Save? I've never seen them. I mean, you get a copy of it.
Yeah, you get a copy of it, but you have to hit submit. So
yeah, there's no way you can save. There used to be, they have a thing where you can set it in sections and you can say save, save, save. And I just found that was so intermittent that it sometimes worked, sometimes didn't, but then it didn't consistently send you a message to say, how do I go back and find it again? That was always the big issue. Like, where is it now that you saved it? And I did find a bunch of partially done forms in the back end. And I'm like, why are those forms only partially done? And then I realized, oh, they hit the save key and never got back. Yeah. So anyway, it's best to do it all in one shot. Because it shouldn't take me all that long.
And that just happened with this week's journal.
Last week was fine. I'll look into, so it was this Sunday, right, that you would do it, or this weekend anyway, so like the July 1st.
Yeah, I think I did it Sunday. I was a little late this week.
Okay, good. Thank you. Who else? Hi, Donna. Welcome. Who else? Oh, Diana, you had something, right?
Well, not really.
No? Oh, yeah. I thought.
After hearing about this herb walk, though, I'm tempted to grab my laptop, disconnect from the electrical cord, and walk around outside in the garden. I can show you what yarrow looks like.
Oh, you can? You're welcome to do that.
I'm not sure I'm coordinated enough, and I'm afraid I might drop the laptop, but I'm really tempted to do that if you're
ready. Well, just try it.
Well, go ahead and see if Donna or Jay or anybody has.
Yeah, we'll go and you can start walking as we do.
I'll just wander.
I think it would be fun to see your garden. Does everybody else think it would be fun to see her garden? We hear about it all the time. Yeah, yeah. It'd be great.
It's all everywhere, the whole yard. I mean, we're our wilderness here. So.
Nice.
And it's not all manicured and pedicured, so you'll see, you know, torn leaves on the ground.
The wild stuff is great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good.
So just in case I holler, stub my toe or something.
you're adept at it. I trust that you're going to do great. I look forward to seeing this. Who else? Donna, do you have any questions, comments, stuff? Yeah, go ahead.
So we're here at the Rahu retreat.
Oh, that's right.
And so far, like, you know, there's a lot of sailing.
yeah, I'm not surprised at that.
But today we had this thing, they say Taco Tuesday, and they take walnuts and they grind them up with, you know, some seasoning or whatever and make that the meat.
Yeah.
And then they grind up, like, red peppers and make it into a salsa.
Nice.
And like first Xander and I had gotten this rice wrap and we didn't know it was Taco Tuesday or whatever. And then we put, you know, all that stuff inside there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you like gotta get the recipes.
Oh yeah, I got the recipe.
Oh good.
Just sprouts, and he even put like sauerkraut on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is he doing so far?
Pretty good. You know, he's in, has a lot of exercise classes, and so he's exhausted. I mean, like the last like 3 nights, he hasn't even eaten dinner. He's so tired.
Wow. Oh, that would accelerate his weight loss.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
one way to do it, right?
That's one way. Yeah, just don't eat, right?
Yeah. And then, so they give you green juice twice a day. And the first day, you know, I only had like 8 ounces. And then like today, I'm already up to 32 ounces.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and then they do wheatgrass. We only did that yesterday. We were too busy today.
So they have you do it in both ends?
It's recommended. Haven't gotten there.
Haven't gotten there yet.
Well, I'm spending so much of my time trying to make sure that he gets to everything.
Yeah.
So I'm not really getting as much out of it as if I was to go by myself.
Yeah. But, yeah, but you know, the advantage of getting him through it is really, and you're getting the advantage of the eating and the whatever meditation classes. They have any of that?
Yeah, I haven't been able. Like, I first did my first class this afternoon before dinner, and it was some stretching class that I could barely move, but you know,
it was slow. That's awesome. Yeah. And this is what, your third day or something? Second day or third day?
Second day.
Second day. Okay. Yeah, you'll get
Sunday, like, you know, I was up at 4:30 to get the, you know, to get on the plane, and it was just a long, long day.
Yeah.
I was beyond tired.
Now, are they anywhere near the beach? Because they must be.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't haven't seen it. Even seen that. It's West Palm
Where
Beach.
Where are you, Donna?
We're in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, in Palm Beach. Okay.
Yeah. At the Hippocrates
pretty
Center.
Warm.
Yeah.
Very warm. Yeah.
Very warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
But it's going okay. I mean, I'm so full all the time. So it's, you know, I haven't reached that. Oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. Though all there is salad, you know.
That's great. And I'm glad you found something special that you like. That really warms. That brings tears to my eyes. Do you know that? That's okay. You know, for years I've been waiting for you to say, oh my God, it was so good. Cause it's like, yeah, it was all right. Yeah, no, you know, and then, oh my God, it was so good. It's like, yeah, very excellent. Yeah.
And I've tried a number of different types of sprouts and, you know, some are okay. I can't handle the spiciness.
Okay. Yeah. Because your stomach, you know, hopefully with this, it'll help your stomach to heal, right? The lining.
Oh, yeah. I mean, already I haven't had heartburn. So
good. Awesome. That's great. Awesome. Yay. Keep us posted. Yeah. I'm so glad you're getting on from there. I didn't expect to see you for a couple of weeks.
Well, I just saw I just happened to glance at the email. So it's like,
it's happening. Good. Are you guys sharing a room, or you have separate quarters, or?
So we have it's like a little house kind of thing where there's a number of different families in there. And so we have our own common area. We share a bathroom, and then we have two separate bedrooms.
Nice.
They put us in the wrong kind of room the first night. So I didn't get any sleep that night either.
Oh, no. So. What kind of room?
Just one room.
Oh, one room for the two of you. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh. No.
That wasn't what we agreed upon.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you got where you got and you have some space and some comfort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring any Legos? Did you bring any Legos?
No. Actually, I have not done Legos since before my surgery.
Oh, wow.
I just, you know, haven't had a chance after surgery, and then after finally recouping, then I've just been so busy, and then trying to get ready for this trip. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll pick it up again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad. Do they do like a whole weigh-in thing at the beginning? Like how
it work too. So I'll be able to enter that in. I'll get that tomorrow.
Cool.
Blood work that they did.
I'll be curious to see how it looks. And
yeah, my vitamin D went down again. It's back down to 40. I forgot to bring my D.
You've got sunshine. You'll have to get out in the sunshine a bunch there. We just did a vitamin D talk today. I was just editing it before. Yeah.
I'm already over 10,000 steps.
Wow.
Today, yeah.
Just today. That's great. That's mm-hmm. awesome. That's like that's 5 miles. That's a lot.
Normally it's about 3,000.
That's great. Yeah. Between the food and that, you're going to feel like a big mental clarity boost and just lightness in your body.
Yeah.
That you're going to like. Yay. Woohoo. Right. Well, it looks like Diana's outside. Do you have anything more before we get to see her too?
No, that's okay. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Look at you.
That's neat, Anna. Can I ask you, where were you at this boot camp? Sounds like basic training to me.
It's the raw food retreat at
Hippocrates, yeah, in Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah. So wow, it sounds like boot camp, though. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right, and you're eating raw food and liking it. That's just neat. I'd love to do that. So this is going to be difficult because I can't really see the screen, so I don't know what you guys are going to be able to see. But okay. I'm going to try and just point in directions, and I'm going to try walking. There's too many neat things around here. We've got all the vegetables that most people have in their gardens, but there's an awful lot of herbs out here. So first thing is, this is the elderberry bush behind me, and it's just enormous. It's the whole fence line. Let's see, here's some that are still in flower, but the berries are starting. Can you see that?
So yeah, you'll pick the berries and you'll make elderberry all googie stuff.
Everything, everybody, yeah, elderberry, I made my tinctures, and then I make syrup and jam and jelly. And then over here, right in front, which has a very similar flower, this is valerian, a little taller than probably most people are used to seeing.
Oh, that one, the white, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Valerian.
And it's
that'll
it's
help really you sleep.
Tall. I'm gonna turn this around and see if I can. It goes. It's about 6-7 feet tall right now.
Wow.
And right here is motherwort, and it's in flower, and I'm just about to cut this one. Can you see this one?
Yeah. With the long. Yes. When you put your hand on it, it helps to know what you're looking at. So that's motherwort.
That's motherwort. And then the leaves kind of almost look like an oak leaf. And this is going to be harvested very soon. I've got to get it before it goes any more flowers.
And tell us what, for those who aren't familiar with motherwort, tell us what that what you use it for.
I use it in my high blood pressure tincture and the heart tonic. Motherwort is, they call it a, oh, help me out, Dr. Rita Marie. You put me on the spot. It's kind of a master controller for actually the female hormones. It's
I forget there's a name for it, and I forget what that is.
It's like a modulator. It helps to keep all the different female hormones in the right combination.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a master controller for, especially for the female hormones.
Awesome.
That's why they call it a motherwort. And then the other thing is the mother's heart. And it goes for the heart. It really, really is a very helpful herb for that. Let's see, what else have we got? Okay, way back here against the house is my comfrey. And that's used for the bones and muscles. And right now, it's got to be cut again. Let's see.
Yeah.
It's laying down. And on Facebook, actually, this is the plant that's my avatar. Or my icon, whatever you call it. And like I said, it's got to be cut back.
You know, I pushed down a little bit because we're just seeing the side of the building. There you go. Yeah.
And the bees absolutely love it. And fortunately, they've gone home for the night.
Beautiful.
But they love these purple flowers. This particular one doesn't seed. It doesn't grow from seed. It grows from cuttings.
Oh.
But I cut it down about 4 times a year. And turn this into fertilizer. I also take the leaf and the root too sometimes, and I infuse them in oil and vegetable oil, or actually use olive oil, or any other kind of oil, and then I use that to make a muscle rub, a sore muscle rub.
Nice. And comfrey is something that is great topically. You can use it very profusely topically, but if you're going to take it internally, you want to do it for short periods of time. So you have a broken bone or something like that. Maybe you take it for a few weeks and then you don't, because it can be tough on the liver.
The leaves can actually be made into poultices.
Yeah.
This is one of those ones where if you get a really bad bruise, you want to grab some of these leaves and kind of crumple them up, bruise them, and maybe add a little water, mash them up good. Throw that onto the wound, the area, and just hold it on there with a little ACE bandage or something, and it will help with the bruising and the inflammation. But it will heal broken bones. The thing is, you got to be real careful with, you got to make sure the bone is set properly, because it will heal it so fast.
Very fast, yes.
Right. I mean, they say you don't want to use it on an open wound if you can avoid it, and that's because of the toxicity factor.
The pyrrolizidine alkaloids or something.
It's the alkaloids. And then you can drink it as a tea, but where people get in trouble is too much of it. And then some people are sensitive. So it is recommended. If you've got a broken bone and you've got it set properly and you're in the cast, you know, everything's good and it's set right. You know, if you just sip one cup of tea a day, a dilute tea, it'll help the bone heal.
Yeah.
But it's, like I say, there's so many uses for it. But I also use it with, the chickens love it, and it's very good for them. It's got a lot of minerals in it.
They don't get toxic from overload? No.
Nope, doesn't bother chickens, but a bit. All the livestock love it. And then we make fertilizer out of it. And it can either be put in the compost pile, or you can make a tea out of that, literally make a tea. Chop it up, put it in a barrel, cover it with water, and then put a lid on it, and it is the stinkiest tea in the whole wide world. It makes that Alaskan fish fertilizer smell good. It's really stinky. But boy, the plants love it. And then you can also cut it and just lay it down on the ground underneath your trees and stuff. And it helps as a mulch. Leaches nutrients into the soil and helps prevent weeds from coming up. So this is one of my that's why I have so much of it.
Nice.
There's no way I would use all of this for medicine, but it's just a constant herbal thing that we use around here for so many things. And let's see, what else do we have back there? Well, there's more elderberries. And then our gigantic tree, our shade tree. And then I'm sitting right here. Okay, down there, this bed right here is going to get planted with some fresh lettuce. Now, down there at the end, that little skinny plant in the middle.
Yeah.
That is, not astragalus. That is the other one that starts with an A. Ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha? That's ashwagandha?
Ashwagandha.
Oh, my. I can't believe you're growing ashwagandha.
Yeah, and behind it, the little yellow and white flowers, if you can see them, that's chamomile.
Yeah, nice.
And I do have astragalus, too, but it's inside the hoop house.
Do you make soups? Doesn't the astragalus, when they're dried, they look like long tongue depressors, the astragalus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're very, when you slice them, you try to do it on the diagonal, and then you get those long slices. As far as the, I try to cut, to just, I don't really usually use them in soups. I just chop them into little discs, because that way I can throw them into whatever I want. They're small, and then I can tincture them too, so.
Yeah. Cool.
And then as I'm walking back to the house, we'll see some yarrow, and then I'm going to head back inside.
Okay.
But I want to show you with the yarrow, you just grab the plant fresh, and you pull the green ferns off of it. This is if you get a gash and you're bleeding. And I've done this when I've gashed myself in the kitchen. I'll run outside if it's summertime and just grab the green fern. It's a fern leaf. And you just grab that and just crumple it in your hand and then pack it down onto the wound, and it will stop bleeding very, very quickly.
Awesome.
But it's a gorgeous plant, and you've probably all seen it and not even known that you were walking past it. But that's why I want to show it to you, is so that you'll be able to
recognize it, because I'd love to recognize it in my yard.
Then when you're walking around out, you know, taking nature walks or whatever, it grows everywhere.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, it's a neat herb. And you can also harvest the flowers. And dry them and use that as a tea. It's pretty neat. You've seen, I'm sure you've all seen it. So we'd be walking through.
I only have it, I dry, you know, I just have a jar of it dried.
And that's what we do. We dry a lot of it for wintertime because we don't always have fresh around here.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously. Okay, so this is right in front of my hoop house, and I just let this little patch right here go. And the insects love it. Let's see if I can stick this thing down on the ground. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Right here. It's about 2 to 3 feet high. And you just grab these fern leaves.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And you just crumple them up.
You just crumple them up, and if I had a cut here, I'd just pack it right there and put pressure on it.
Nice.
It'll make it, it'll, and you can actually, when you take it off, you don't want to try to dig it out of the wound.
Just you can leave it in the wound? It's not going to infect or anything?
Bacterial and anti, it has all the anti-infection things to it, so.
Cool.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about taking it out. Best not to.
Best not to, because you might open it up again.
Open the wound up again, so. Anyway. Yeah.
Good, thank you.
That's just part of the garden. There's a bunch more out the other door.
That was fun.
That for the next trip.
Oh, Diana, I wanted to add one more important thing about yarrow. You know, you could rub it on yourself like a mosquito repellent.
Oh.
True. Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My mind is loaded with mosquitoes.
That's what I learned from Katrina this weekend. It really works. And, yeah, oof, there's a lot of mosquitoes right now because there's been a lot of precipitation here. So I'm like, I've got my herbal spray just...
Junk it away. I went out without mine yesterday. I kept right by my door and I didn't bring it out, and I went outside and like within minutes I was covered with bug bites.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you. That was a lot of fun.
I hope you all enjoyed that and learned something, and I hope you could see something.
We could see. Yeah, it was nice.
Trying to maneuver a laptop.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a little odd to do it that way, you know, because you don't really see what people are seeing, and you're trying to.
But. Yeah. And I don't have one of those smartphones or a tablet. I have a tablet, but I don't know how to work it with.
What I have, I was going to say I'll show you, but I can't because if I show you, it's there. I have a separate little camera on top of my thing. My phone's dead. I can't take a picture of it. But it's just sitting on top. So if I were walking around, I could carry the laptop over here and just point the camera at whatever I wanted to.
But
My camera is bad on my laptop anyway. So
maybe on the Thursday's call, if there's not too many people and it's not too busy, I'll take it out into the side yard here. I've got in about 5 herbs over there.
Good, because then it's recorded and people who missed it will have fun watching it. That's great.
Yeah, right now.
Thank you for the tour.
Yeah.
I love seeing your garden.
Yeah.
I talk so much about it. It's like being there.
Oh, almost, yeah. And we did have some gorgeous poppies in bloom this morning, and the sun kind of beat them up this afternoon. I was going to pick one and show it to you, but it kind of fell apart.
They fell apart. Do you tincture them too? Is it like California poppy where it's a Nervine? No?
Different? No, it's a real kind of poppy.
It's the real kind of poppy? Like poppy. The kind in The Wizard of Oz?
Yep.
Oh, that'll put you to sleep.
I've tinctured it up. I actually haven't used it yet because I've not really have been brave enough to try it.
Yeah.
I just take the pods and tincture those. I don't try to make anything other than that, a tincture out of them. So.
Yeah.
But it is the, what is it called? It's the Somniforum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is the official ones that they harvest for the drugs. I don't know how to do that kind
and
of
it's harvest. Not illegal to grow.
It's not illegal to grow the flowers at all.
You probably can do a YouTube.
There's actually tons of YouTubes out there if they haven't removed them all yet. There's a lot of helpful videos out. You can find out how to make just about anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I teach people how to adjust their own hiatal hernia. Tell them to go to YouTube, how to, you know, fix their ileocecal valve, find a YouTube video. It's like there's everything out there.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be careful sometimes, you know, with the source. But I've put a few, I've found some really good videos that made it fun to learn about various body things. And in one of our practitioner modules, I have this this video from YouTube of the inside of a colonoscopy. And you're getting to see all the folds and the polyps and the it's, you know, for if you're into it, it's really kind of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Jay, do you have anything?
No, I'm glad I'm glad I tuned in, though. I would have missed the show until.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, too. Did you ever get any of her tincture, her blood pressure tonic?
No, she was backlogged on all the
things.
That's okay.
Kind of busy.
I get a lot of stuff from my wife farm. So
I'm ready to send it. I'm ready to send you some, Jay. This is a good batch. It's quite more potent than my last one, and it's been working for me, so.
I think it'd be great. Give it a try. The other thing, the other person that makes them is a friend of Marsha's. And he, what's his name? I interviewed him. And it turns out he's a friend of Marsha's because I was recommending her to him to check out his tinctures. He has a nitric oxide booster and he has a, and she ended up getting a heart tonic and a blood pressure tonic from him. And it's probably got similar to what you put in it. Lynn, do you remember his name? He was, we interviewed him and the show was called There's an Herb for That or There's a Pill for That or something like that. I can't remember. It's on the tip of my tongue. I remember because Marsha would say it's Herbert, not Herbert. Oh, no. Anyway, it'll come to me. But he has his own website where he makes it all right there locally in Northern California. And yeah. Anyway, but yeah, go ahead and give her your, I'd love to see how it works for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Exchange.
Yeah. That motherwort that I just showed you out there, that's in my tonic.
Yeah. I was thinking there's something, I've got something that has motherwort in it, but I was thinking maybe I ought to up the concentration more since I saw in the notes over here that Lynn posted that it's relaxing.
And you, yeah, you could use that. That would be great. What about, where's the chat? Oh, she posted in the chat. Do you have the bunch of the singles on Herb Farm and then you make up combos?
Well, I pretty much kind of moved over. Since it all costs the same, I figure I get a bigger bang for the buck by getting the blends.
By getting the blends.
Just take, you know, more like three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like a teaspoon or so, three times a day. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I'll send you a little sample box. See if you like it, Jay.
Okay.
Cool. Just built a bunch of elderberries, and it'll support your uterus, kidneys, and digestion. All right. Anybody else? All right, we'll have an early day today, and good luck at Hippocrates. Yay! Have a safe drive home, Angelica. And Sandra, you know, just kind of mellow into being back, and it's always a hard transition when you're away for 2.5 weeks, and then you have to come back to the real world. It's like, oh, wow. But it'll give you a good taste of what retirement will be like. Lynn, did you have anything you wanted to say or add?
No, I'm just, my big herb right now is burdock. And it's like my favorite summer plant food because it's really good for taking the root. It's really good for taking any internal heat and kind of pushing it out. And so it's really nice and cooling, but the leaves are really good to make a poultice for the rash or anything like that. Yeah.
You've got that growing in your yard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And people are like, kill it. And I'm like, why?
God, it's such a great plant. And it's food.
It is.
Food in your yard.
Yeah.
Like carrots and with carrots and. You know, you put it in salads or smoothies or saute it, and it's a great
invasive
liver.
Invasive is a mild word for it, Diana. But you know, it's really interesting. When we first moved here, lamb's quarter was everywhere, and there was just a little bit of the burdock. But now it's shifted. And I always find that whatever I'm supposed to be taking, whether it's for myself or my family, that's what it grows the most of. Mm-hmm. And And this is telling me that I need to be working more on things like my liver and gallbladder and those digestive immune issues. So I'm experimenting myself, Diana. I didn't go outside or anything, but I did a little video. I don't know. It's about 10, 12 minutes on YouTube on the beauty and benefits of burdock. And so, because you kind of inspired me. I'm like, as I was doing it, it's like, you know, next time I should go outside, show them what it looks like. And, you know, it's when I dig it up and have it there and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I will say that I was on a run today in the heat of the day. I didn't have time to go for a run until it was like 3:15 or something. It was like 4, and 4 is like the peak heat time. You know that, Jay, in Texas anyway, it tends to be the heat, the peak, Angelica, you know too. And so I went out there, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I ran and I just got drenched. But I was thinking of all the cool things for ERC next year that I want to incorporate. And I'm looking at like some advanced track kind of stuff, because you've already been through some of the other stuff. But I was listening to a book. There's a book called The Oxygen Advantage, and it's really great on the mouth breathing versus nose breathing. So I want to incorporate a lesson on that, because unbelievable benefits for various body systems. And I want to do something on the vagus nerve, the healing power of the vagus nerve. I want to do some advanced herbal stuff, you know, for various ways to, you know, so there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. And I'm going to get it all written down, you know, to make it more, more educational, fun kind of educational stuff that we can incorporate in, you know, so that we can really just keep advancing and advancing and advancing. So I just thought I'd share that. And I hopefully we'll have that all mapped out by Thursday. So trying to sleep. And then the sleep. I want to do an advanced sleep topic. I learned so much from the Why We Sleep book. And I've discovered that even though I don't sleep enough, I sleep really well. So that's a good thing. I got this Aura ring. Has anybody heard of these rings? Oh, that's the other thing we're going to have. We're going to have a module on basically biohacking and all the biomedical type devices we can use to measure things and support us. But anyway, I got this ring. Somebody else, I think it might have been Lynn Rose or somebody in the program, had told me that they got one and it was really helpful. And it measures sleep and movement and heart rate variability and all this stuff. So I mainly got it because I wanted to see the sleep, because so it measures your sleep. And so my sleep is like super good, like a lot of deep sleep, a lot of REM sleep. Percentage wise, it's great. Even hours wise, it's great. Just not enough sleep. So, but it was really encouraging to see that I fall asleep within 3 minutes. So I have no problem falling asleep. And then I don't wake up during the night, except after maybe 6 hours sometimes. But if I get a longer sleep, but most of the time I don't sleep long enough to wake up in the middle of the night. But it was really encouraging. But this was the funny part. It says, we use this based on monitoring you for the last 2 weeks. We've come up with what we think is your ideal bedtime. And you're going to laugh when you hear this, right? Because it's when you get that the best sleep, between 12:45 and 1:15. I'm like, oh my God, the ring gave me permission to stay up late, which I've been trying to stop. Because it was made there basically when I went to their website. I'm reading that, you know, yes, some people really need that early part of the sleep. And some people are just constitutionally are better going to bed late and sleeping in the morning, right? And I always felt that was what I was. But then when the ring told me, you know, the program basically told me that that's the ideal time for me to go to sleep. And here I was like, okay, I'm going to get to bed by midnight every night, you know, every night I'm going to sleep from midnight to 7. And then the ring told me I should stay up later than that. So it's kind of interesting. Anyway.
So does it matter what finger you put it on?
They want you to wear it on a finger that where it's tight enough that it's not sloshing. So when I measured it, they send you a kit and I measured it and I got the size that worked for the ring finger. And then when I got it and I put it on, it was like, oh my God, this is way too big. It was sloshing around. So I moved it to the middle finger. But the problem is I have skinny fingers and fat knuckles.
And me too.
Getting it on and off is a you have that too? Getting it on and off is a challenge. So your fingers tend to be the smallest, I think in the morning after you've slept. I have to look that up again. So if I have to take it off, because you have to take it off periodically to charge it. And I have to take it off to charge it. So I have to, like right now, there's no way I'm going to get it off. But there's plenty of room there. But no, they say it doesn't matter as long as it's a finger where it's making good contact, but not too tight and not too loose. So it's an interesting little toy to play with.
So isn't it that the best hours for body repair to sleep are from, was it 10 to 2?
Supposedly 10 to 2, yeah. Yeah.
But not for you.
Well, apparently, you know, I guess because there have been a couple of times I went to bed earlier, I don't know what's calculated. I'm not going to take that and say, oh, yeah, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to really try to get to bed earlier. But I know that it's measuring like your heart rate variability and how long it takes your heart rate to go down during the night. And that's a measure of your readiness. And, you know, they do all these calculations, which I don't quite understand how they're doing them just from this little electrode on my finger. But it's kind of curious and interesting. But it's just giving me the incentive to watch the sleep and go, no, I need more sleep than that, right? Because it's coming up red and I don't like losing, right? I like winning the games that I play. And when I'm on that game and it's red and it says needs improvement, it's incentivizing me. It's kind of like the muse with the meditation. It's like, okay, now that I have 687 days in a row of meditation, I'm not missing a day. Right. So it just gives me that incentive, and everybody's a little different in what incentivizes them. Lynn, did you say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I first heard about it a couple of years ago from Mike Mutzel when he was doing his different broadcasts, his high intensity interviews, and he was talking about the mouth breathing with the tape.
Yeah.
And he had just gotten the Oura Ring too, but and then hers, and hers was finding she sleeps maybe 2 minutes. She gets deep REM for about 2 minutes. So it's like, her deep sleep, and that's why, that's part of the issue with her health too, she was saying, is that she...
Who is this that you're talking about?
Lynn Rose.
Oh, Lynn Rose was saying that she discovered that. Yeah. But she's...
Yeah.
Deep sleep. Yeah, my son was, you know, my kids are into health as well, and they get their own ideas. So my son says, oh, he said, because you don't go to sleep long enough, you should probably take melatonin so that you get deeper into sleep and you have longer deep sleep. Well, I'm looking at my Ring stats. I'm like, I have plenty of it. He says, oh, I do that all the time. You know, if I have to get up early, you know, if I want to sleep in on the weekend after having been up early all week, it helps me to get really deep. And he says, but sometimes I sleep through my alarm. And I'm like, I can't afford to sleep through my alarm. Sorry, I'm not going to try this. But then when I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I'm getting plenty of deep sleep. Even though I'm getting a shorter period of time, it's still a lot of deep sleep. So that's good to know. Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I'm going to do some more studying. You may have to update it. There's a section that I do in the sleep module in Sweet Spot on sleep. And I have a lot of background information about sleep cycles, you know, of all the research I've done in the past on sleep cycles, and they're approximately an hour and a half long, and they have this certain pattern to them. I don't happen with me. It's, you know, it's completely different than that for me. I go from, you go from light at the beginning and you go to deep, and then I may go to light again, and then I may go to deep again, and then I may go to light again, then I may go to REM, and then I may go, you know, so I do go from deep to light and light to deep. But the length of time is variable, very variable throughout the night. And I'm getting a lot of deep, because they say, you know, if you get less than 4 sleep cycles over the night, then you're not getting enough deep sleep or REM sleep. But I'm actually getting more than that number of sleep cycles, but they're just sometimes short and sometimes long. It's very interesting to study. So anyway, I want to put together a more advanced sleep topic.
So does that link up like Bluetooth to your phone?
Yeah.
And so do you have to leave your phone on at night while you're sleeping?
Nope.
So it'll just store it?
It'll store, yeah.
And then you use the app to download it?
Turn it on and the app will read it. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to leave it on. No way. Yeah.
Lisa was bugging me to get a heart rate variability tool of some sort, and she kind of pointed me toward all these watches that are out there.
Yeah, there's the Garmin has one.
Yeah, and I don't know, the Ring sounds like it might be more appealing.
So really, the Ringo, to get the heart rate variability on demand, you have to actually sit for 5 minutes or longer, which is actually a good thing, right? You have to sit quietly so it can read it for 5 minutes. And then overnight, it'll give you your heart rate variability. But it won't just randomly do it. I mean, I think you have to have that length of time anyway. I know the heart math will give it to you pretty quickly, but it's just a snippet, right? You really, when you do a longer period, you get a good sense of your heart rate variability. Because how much
have a physical activity, and then you would sit still for 5 minutes?
Or you don't have to do the physical. You just could sit still, and you set it. You go into the app on the phone. And say, I want to check, you know, my heart rate variability. And it says, okay, sit and breathe and, you know, just sit quietly. And you do that for about 5 minutes, and then it'll give you the way it is. And then it gives you it overnight, obviously, because all night long you have it. The other thing that does do heart rate variability is, of course, the inner balance. That's the thing that you put on your ear, the one from HeartMath. So you put it on your ear, you can put one end in your phone, or you can get the one that works on the computer, and you just let it sit there for as long as you want to do it, and then you get to see your heart rate variability. And it'll give you, you know, red, yellow, red, blue, or green, I think it is. Just if you're in the green where you're doing really well, and red is like you're in the stressed out state. So that'll do that. And then the new Muse, my Muse doesn't do it, but the Muse 2 has a heart rate variability setting as well.
So are you guys are you happy with the Muse 2?
I haven't been. Scott uses it, and he likes it just fine. But it's not what I thought when I saw it, and I got it for him for Christmas. I figured if I liked it, I'd get one for me. But I never tried it. But I figured, when you do your regular meditation, it'll also show you your heart rate variability, but you actually have to set the program to do them individually. So it'll check heart rate variability, breathing, the brain waves, and then there's one other, I can't remember what it is.
Oh, so it's not any different than the Ring in that you have to set it to
You still have to say, okay, now I'm going to do my, it's not like, okay, I'm going to meditate and let's see what my heart rate variability was during the meditation. It's like a separate setting as far as what he's explained to me.
Yeah, so you're not going to be able to like download it or look at a graph that shows your last 24 hours of heart rate variability.
Okay. No. No, and I think that the Garmin watches may give you that.
Oh, okay.
Well, one of the Garmin watches does give you that. So look at that. There's several.
One less thing to have to think about doing, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to have to do it. I mean, of course, I meditate already, so I'd like to just be able to press the button and see what my, I suppose, you know what I could do? I just thought of that. I don't know. I may have to do it on two different machines because I don't know if I can run the two apps at the same time. I probably can't. So I probably have to use one on my iPad and one on my phone and have the Muse, you know, doing my thing on the phone and then have the other on at the same time on my other device. So it's still like, it's a hassle, right? It's not like this one little thing that you can measure. The Garmin watches, I think, do that. I was talking.
I use a Fitbit and it measures your resting heart rate.
Resting heart rate, but not heart rate variability. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you do need a longer period of time to get heart rate variability. You know, it's not very telling if it's a minute worth of heartbeat, like, right?
No.
And it changes and it shifts. I like looking at the Ring one overnight because you can see what it is overnight. And mine isn't as good as I thought it would be overnight.
Okay, so.
You going?
So.
Bye.
So let's assume your heart rate variability isn't as good as you think it should be. So then what?
I need to be doing more mindfulness moments during the day, and I need to be maybe doing more focus on my heart math throughout the day.
Maybe I ought to just skip the equipment and make that assumption and do that thing.
Just do it. Right. Exactly. Right. But here's what the thing is about the equipment. It gives us the feedback that, oh, I thought I was doing it right. You know, I thought I was doing enough heart math throughout the day, but I guess I'm not. And I need to just slow down and do it. And that's where I like being able to do the 5 minutes and see it. And of course, I could always stick my heart math thing in and try that. And it makes me go, yeah, maybe I should check that and really tune in, because I really do want to be in that higher level of heart rate variability. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. And the other thing I'm learning about in this book, breathing, is he has this particular test. I think he calls it the Bolt test or Volt test. And it's how long you hold your breath before you get this feeling. And he has you breathe out and in and then hold. And how long before you get that, I've got to breathe again. Right. And the higher that is, the more you're adapted, your respiratory and your cardiovascular and your brain system. And it can relate to a lot of things and athletic performance. And so that I've got to sit and do that. But I think the first time I tried it, I only got 20 seconds. And he says, you know, 20 seconds is at the low end. You really want to be shooting for 40 seconds. And when he's done that with people, he's seen major improvements in their cardiac function, in their blood pressure, in their brain waves, in their athletic performance, et cetera. And it's very specific. The Oxygen Advantage is the book, and it's easy to get on Amazon. And it's based on the Buteyko breathing. He studied with him. And he talks about the mouth taping at night. And it was funny because usually if it's the middle of the night and I don't see my husband snoring, and this morning he stayed up late and he was still in bed and I was getting up and he's like, and I look over and I kept saying to him, I bet you're mouth breathing, you know, and there he's like laying there. So I'm going to get some tape and tape his mouth shut and see if that helps him.
Yeah, that might affect something else.
I used it for a while, taping my mouth.
How did it work for you?
Yeah, I think so. At that time, I had a lot of trouble being awake, which I don't.
It's supposed to help people with sleep apnea, for sure, because it makes you breathe through your nose.
Yes.
Yeah, and unless you've got like a polyp in your nose or some major congestion, you can't breathe through your nose.
Yeah, but I would. Probably I would take it off in the middle of the night.
Oh, you would?
Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't wake up with a tape on my mouth.
Oh, that's funny. For some reason, anyway, it's an interesting book, and I want to, you know, I'm going to play with the concepts in it and I'll put together a more advanced breathing thing. I think it could help a lot of folks. All right, guys, I saw somebody else came on. I saw, didn't I see Janet, or did she leave again? I think she left again. All right, guys. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.